I'll be reading from two different chapters, but it's all in Genesis. So the first part would be Genesis 28. We'll read from verse 13 to 15, Genesis 28, 13 to 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. The next chapter we will read, it's going to be the whole chapter, is Genesis 32. Now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that may I find favor in your sight. The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. For he said, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all your loving kindness and of all the faithfulness with which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. So he spent the night there. Then he selected from what he had with him a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass on before me and put a space between droves. He commanded the one in front, saying, when my brother Esau meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going, and to whom do these animals in front of you belong? Then you shall say, these belong to your servant Jacob. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. Then he commanded us also the second and the third and all those who followed the droves, saying, after this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on before him while he himself spent that night in the camp. Now he rose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed the Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. We just want to give you all and our very first fruits. And I pray, God, that you will come and you will just speak today and let us be refreshed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that was a long chapter, but I've been meditating on Jacob for a little while now, and I just wanted to share with you what I've been learning and what I had learned recently through a devotional I was reading. So as we read from two passages, Genesis 28, we see that this was after Jacob stole his father's birthright, and he was sent away, or his father was sending him away. And so he was on his journey, and he was at Bethel, and he had a dream, ladders and angels going up and down from heaven and earth. And at this place, God spoke and made a promise to Jacob. And in verse 15 in particular, God said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. So he built an altar there, and he also made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, I will give and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And it goes on a little bit. So he was the one who stole his brother's birthright. He was the one who lied. He was the one who placed himself in this position right now. But God was the one who first promised him safety and confirmed the birthright. Yet Jacob, being Jacob, still had his own conditions to God. He was completely undeserved of this. And God made him a promise, and he basically says, okay, if you do this, 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 then you will be my God. And for me, I personally felt that something was wrong here. Anyway, so he acknowledged that God was there, and he went on his journey. So we fast forward a little bit. He met Rachel, worked for 7 years, got tricked to marry Leah. He worked another 7 years, got tricked to marry Rachel. And then within these 14-plus years, he really prospered in everything that he did. He got married. He had children. And so he decided to leave this place after finding out that Laban was not very friendly towards him anymore. And in Genesis 31 now, it says, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you. By now, the Lord has been keeping his word to Jacob. He has been answering, and he's continuing to answer every part of Jacob's vow that he made at Bethel. Jacob himself said in Genesis 31, when he was telling his wife that he had to leave this place, he said, but the God of my father has been with me. And then a little later he goes, God did not allow him, Laban, to hurt me. So Jacob actually acknowledges that, yeah, through this journey, God has been with me. And he was sharing this with his wives. And then we fast forward a little bit again. We're in Genesis 32, the whole chapter that we just read. And now he is on his way home to his father's land. He's decided to leave Laban. And hang on. And the angels of God met him. So just a side note, I was very curious, you know, in Genesis 32, verse 1 and 2, it just said, then the angels of God met him. And to me, I was just thinking, how many times does he see God? Or, you know, has he heard of God or heard from him and seen angels? I mean, just this note, and the angels of God met him, I just felt like, does he see God every day? You know, does he see God on a daily basis? It seems like God keeps on, you know, appearing to him. So it's very interesting. And God met him every single journey. Like every single journey he had to go on, God either spoke to him before or met him right at the beginning of his journey. So this one, when the angels of God met him, this was right after him and Laban departed. So they had their terms, they made their deal, and then they're like, okay, let's just depart from one another, and you know, we won't get in each other's way. And so I personally believe that Jacob actually continually encountered God on a regular basis just by this verse and how God has been revealing himself to him. But if this is correct, yet he still feared. You know, he still had so much fear that he, when his messenger came back to him to send him a report on Esau, and he found out that his brother was coming with 400 men to meet him, he was distressed and he feared. He was freaked out. In the midst of all these godly encounters, dreams, angels, hearing the voice of God, he still goes ahead and makes his own plan as if he was all by himself and his livestock, children, family only depended on him. And his plan of escape was to divide his possessions into two and send them in groups, and he will follow at the very end. After he makes his plan, he then goes and prays to God. After he prays to God, he then goes and selects a generous gift to God, to Esau, as if his original plan wasn't good enough. But more importantly, as if his prayer to God was powerless and landed on deaf ears. And then we go a little down, further down. After he settled everything, after he planned everything, he was finally left alone. And during this time, a man wrestled him until daybreak. And eventually, Jacob realizes that he was not wrestling with a mere man, but it was actually God. When does this happen? I have no idea. All I know is that he had probably wrestled him for a long time. And then his hip socket was dislocated by a touch of this man. And he said, the man says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. So this part was some things I had learned from a devotional recently. And it said, well, basically through this whole wrestling with God, I was just curious, you know, why did God bother to entertain Jacob and just wrestle with him? It's almost as if he was playing with him, you know. Why did he allow Jacob to wrestle him for such a long time? After all, he is God. He can just flick a finger or just blow in his face and Jacob will surely die, you know. And perhaps it is because God wanted Jacob to learn and see for himself how self-determined he was, how stubborn he was. He insisted to wrestle. He insisted to try and win through his own hands. He insisted to take things into his own hands. And, you know, that reminded me of all the plans he had made by himself throughout his life. And the plans he made even after he met God and heard his promises for him. And then God dislocates Jacob's hip. As a result, he had to walk with a limp for the rest of his life. Maybe it was God's way in telling Jacob that your self-reliance is fickle. It is fragile. It is not the best solution. In one touch, he was injured. And through this injury, even if he wanted to run away from Esau, he would not be able to run. He's thinking, Esau is going to kill me. Even if he wanted to run now with his hip, forget about running. Esau will just catch him. Esau was the hunter. Jacob was the shepherd. No way he's going to outrun Esau. So Jacob must know very well by now that he has nothing else to depend on. And perhaps it is at this point he realized that he was wrestling with someone divine. And therefore he must have been so desperate because he feared death. And then God asks and speaks to Jacob and asks him to let him go. And I personally feel that this was an invitation from God for Jacob to ask, for Jacob to plead, for Jacob to talk to God. I'm certain God knows Jacob's name. I really don't think he needed to know his name at that point, but he wanted Jacob to speak. And so he has nowhere else to go, so God spoke first to allow Jacob to speak. And the next thing that comes up seems a little bit random because he basically says, after Jacob says, I won't let go until you bless me, his response was, I would expect his response to be, yeah, sure, I'll bless you, or no, forget about it, or maybe I'll think about it. But instead he was, you know, he was like, what is your name? So I was like, huh? Anyway. So, but I believe there is a reason for this. By now, I believe Jacob had understands why this is all happening, and God wanted him to say this with his own mouth, to admit that he was Jacob, that, in other words, he was the deceiver, he was the supplanter, he was the usurper. He wanted Jacob to acknowledge who he is and who he has been, and that he was the one who lied and cheated, the one who was fearful and self-reliant and doubtful. And after Jacob admits to it, after Jacob hears it for himself, after Jacob realizes that, this is who I am, fine. You know, I admit it. After all these things, I am the supplanter, I am the deceiver. Then God changes his name. So I feel like it was God's given opportunity for Jacob to have a transformation by revealing to Jacob who he was and stripped away all of his self-confidence, self-reliance, his own plans, his stubbornness, and renewed his identity. Yeah, I would like to invite Janella to just lead us into worship. Yeah, so, and I just felt like, you know, for some of us, maybe God seems really far away because we don't think we hear him. So we go about our lives doing our own thing and making our own decisions and dictating our paths. And for some of us, we keep God at a distance, thinking we know better, doubting whether he is really good and so true, and we just do our own thing, dismissing his tender promises of, I will be with you. Maybe you're at a place in which the Lord has promised you his goodness, but you still doubt and it's testing him like Jacob did when he made a vow. Maybe some of us are in a place where you feel like you're wrestling and you're getting tired. God may be breaking our self-reliance and fear. You know, perhaps some of our hip has been dislocated and there is now no way to run, no way to hide, and no way to, you know, think of an escape plan from our giant and our fears, you know. We can no longer depend on our own plans, calculations, and experience. And these might all be invitations from God for you to be dependent on him, for you to finally come face to face with yourself, to admit to God and yourself who you are, who you have been. He needs us to know ourselves. He wants us to know our identity in him. He desperately longs for us to be transformed by giving us a new name or a new identity. Yeah. So let's just spend some time in prayer and worship.
Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Far he
Thank you, God. You are indeed gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And we are all work in progress. And we are all, at some point of our life or some aspect of our life, like Jacob. And we just ask that you will come, Lord, and meet us where we are at. And we just want to allow you to do what you want, what you need, so that we can know who we are in you and be assured of your promises for us, God. We're so thankful, God, that you watch over us and you never turn your eyes against away from us, God. And we just love you. Let's pray for our community that are battling with cancer and going through chemo radiation therapy. Thank you. Let's pray for all our brothers and sisters who have families that are ill and need salvation. Let's pray that the Lord will come and bring forth His salvation to them all. Let's lift up our community who is suffering with various kinds of illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing hand to really touch them. Let's lift up those of us who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SP Singapore, PSAM Kim. Let's also pray for Indonesia, SPIN, Pastor Selamat. Let's pray for the prayer and healing ministries of SP, which is IP Well and The River. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection over everyone that's serving. Everyone that's serving will serve with His love and His compassion. Let's pray for our education ministry, Noah's Ark, which is led by P. Marion Ealing, SP Youth, which is led by P. Nate, and SPU, led by P. Ricky and P. Andrew. Let's pray that they will really be able to encounter God in every one of their meetings, and that there be such koinonia within the groups that they gel and they bond so well to journey together in even at a young age. And our Thursday outreaches, which is SP Lights Homie Outreach. Let's praise God that people are going out there to meet with those that are in need in Hong Kong. And let's pray that their message, their life message, will be brought to those that really need to hear it. their love and affection, their grace and their hospitality will really be felt by those that are receiving it. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting tonight, Elements and Olympic. Let's pray that everyone will really encounter God tonight and that there will be such great discussion, that Holy Spirit will really be with them and fellowship with them. Let's pray for our annual retreat. Let's pray that everyone that is going, including the speakers, will make everything work out, the visas and, you know, all the plans, that our hearts will be ready to receive, and the venue and logistics of everything will be worked out properly and, to be smooth and running. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to hear you and to speak with you, God. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to speak to us, because we are listening and we are hoping to hear you more and more every day. Draw us closer to you, Father, Lord, God. And we just want to lift up the rest of this day to you, God. Bless everyone here. Let them have an energetic and joyful day, God. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy your morning. See you again.